Why am I drawing blank on everything else?
Because of the magic microphone.
Scarab is the South Carolina Anime Role-Playing and Board Gaming Convention in Columbia, South Carolina. In addition to the annual convention, the members of Scarab, also known as the Scarab Swarm, travel to retailers, conventions, and meetups to demo a variety of games. In this podcast, we highlight topics such as gaming, conventions, the people behind it all, and more. I'm your host, John Manus, and this is the Swarmcast.
It's not enough, it never is. I tell myself, I can't take this. Tomorrow comes, I'm back in, playing dumb and waiting for something I could never find to come knock, knock, knocking down my door. The waiting's such a waste of time, so here we go. Break it down and build me up again. I can take it, the remaking. The more we know, the less we understand. So live the rebound, welcome to the breakdown.
Welcome to episode 5 of the Scarab Swarmcast. I'm your host, John Manus. This is exciting. We're at episode 5. We're about halfway through this first season of the Scarab Swarmcast, leading up to January, which of course is the Scarab Gaming Convention itself. This episode's going to be exciting. We've got an interview with a representative from MonsterCon in Greenville, South Carolina. MonsterCon just occurred just recently, and this interview actually gives a little bit more insight into the goings-on of MonsterCon and some information about what happened at MonsterCon, some of the events at MonsterCon, and some of their future plans as well. We've also got an interview where we meet members of the Swarm. After we talk with a couple members of the Scarab Swarm, we'll also have a buzz and then find out some other games that people are playing. So with that said, let's go ahead and get straight into the news. And now, Scarab News! In just a couple weeks, the Scarab Swarm is going to be piling up in a couple vans and heading down to Indiana to go to a little convention called Gen Con. That's right, Scarab Swarm's going to be at Gen Con, helping Paizo run the Pathfinder Society tables. Scarab's also announced some exciting game days, which are going to be going on at Firefly Toys and Games in Lexington, South Carolina. So far, there's a game day planned for September 14th and for October 12th. If you want to get more information about that, of course, check Scarab's website. Check Scarab on Facebook, and you can even see the schedule itself if you go to warhorn.net/scarab-game-day. I'll put a link to that in the production notes as well. Gen Con, in a way, marks the end of the summer tour for Scarab, as it were, and for a lot of the gaming vent conventions that either Scarab participated in or that members of the Scarab Swarm went to in one shape or fashion. This began as far back as May, you could say, with XCon World, Myrtle Beach. Then, of course, there was Con Carolinas at the end of May in Charlotte, North Carolina. Free RPG Day, Scarab heavily participated in that in various locations. And then there was just recently StormCon, which went on July 12th and 14th in Somerville, South Carolina. And, of course, a convention that just recently ended in Greenville, South Carolina, called MonsterCon. And speaking of MonsterCon, because I know you are now, here's an interview that I had with Dave Harlequin from MonsterCon, where he gives some information about MonsterCon. With me right now is somebody from MonsterCon. Why don't you tell me who you are and tell me what MonsterCon is?
Sure thing. My name's Dave Harlequin. I'm the program director for MonsterCon. And MonsterCon is basically a three-day multi-fandom convention, July 26th to the 28th in Greenville.
Why is it called MonsterCon?
Originally, when we founded in 2008, it was founded by our good friend Ray Franks, who owns the Comic Mon store in Salisbury, North Carolina. And so it was kind of a play on words with that. It was the Comics and Toys MonsterCon because of the Comic Mon store's heavy involvement. They're still involved to this day as a sponsor and everything, but we took it over in 2012, I believe. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I totally said the wrong date. It was founded in 2007. I was just corrected on that.
Okay.
We acquired the rights to it in 2012. We always loved it and really wanted to bring it back. Ray come on as vice chairman with us after he sold us the rights, and you know, the rest, as they say, is history.
What can somebody expect to see or do at MonsterCon?
Oh, wow, that's a good one. pretty much anything you like. I mean, we are true multi-fandom. We try to bring something for everyone. Like, we've got everything from sci-fi fantasy to gaming to comics and toys to anime to horror to, you know, paranormal to pretty much anything in between. I mean, there's celebrity guests and, you know, we have a complete film festival, panels, programming, concerts, you name it.
Can you tell us maybe some of the special guests or events that are going on this year?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Our celebrity guest of honor is actually Dave Prowse, who, of course, played Darth Vader. We've got Chris Sarandon, who, of course, was from, you know, The Princess Bride, Fright Night, did the voice of Jack Skellington in Nightmare Before Christmas, and probably like 40 some odd other films. We've got Alex Vincent from the Child's Play films. We've got some cast from the movie Cabin Fever. We've got Paul Bradford coming in from Ghost Hunters International. Adam Minarovich from The Walking Dead, as well as about four, maybe five different people who actually played walkers, like zombie extras in it. We've got Maximum Overdrive's Green Goblin, you know, the only non-living guest we have.
Yeah, so the pictures.
Big Green Goblin truck.
Yeah, I saw a picture of that on your website.
I'm still not sure how we're going to fit it in the door, but we're big fans. So when the guy hit us up with it, actually the guy who runs Hollywood Prop Collector, he's like, I'd like to bring it in. And we're like, we'd love you to bring it in. Could we fit it in the door? He's like, well, it's not attached to the truck anymore. I'm like, still, that head is bigger than the truck.
Yeah.
So we're going to try our best to get it in the door. I'm pretty sure there's a bay door we can sneak it in. So wow. Definitely the biggest guest.
Other than the guests, what type of events are going on?
Well, we've got a late night party that runs all night. That starts at 10 p.m. and ends in, let's just be honest, question marks. It's going to run all night Friday night. That's called our After Dark Party. It's hosted by Single Cell Productions, a really great group out of Charlotte that runs the, what were they called, the Purgatory events and everything down there. We've also got Captain Stab Tuggo and Madam Maybell. You know, you might know them from NBC's America's Got Talent. They're going to do, like, sideshow performances, you know, fire breathing, sword swallowing, all types of different, you know, carnival stunts.
Wow.
Of course, we've also got, you know, the punk rock band The Independents coming in, you know, the Ramones proteges. We've got them doing a live performance Saturday night, as well as the Graveyard Boulevard, which one of their members is actually Ray Franks, the founder of MonsterCon.
Oh, wow.
And doing their 10-year anniversary tour, and it's doing a stop, of course, at MonsterCon. And, you know, just, other bands, DJs, you name it.
Wow. This sounds like it's going to be tremendous.
It's definitely going to be a monster.
Living up to its name. Is there anything that you guys already have planned or in the works for upcoming years?
Oh yeah, I mean we're already accepting bids from hotels and convention centers alike for 2014. You know, we did plenty of bidding back in 2012 to get it, and it ended up landing in Greenville. Yeah, you know, the Hilton, they offered us the best possible deal, and you know, it's open for bidding now. We'd love to stay in Greenville. But, you know, it does sometimes come down to budget and, you know, who can give us the best deal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, space is always a major concern, too, when booking, you know, a big con like this. And,
right.
You know, if it grows any bigger, we're going to have a bigger venue or perhaps expand out to more hotels, you know, sort of like what, like, Dragon Con or Comic Con does.
Has Monster Con always been in Greenville or has it just been?
Oh, no. Monster Con's actually been in a few places. It originally started in Salisbury, North Carolina, then later moved down to Concord, which is the greater Charlotte area.
Okay.
And this is actually its first year in Greenville.
I know that usually some other conventions like Scarab or MomoCon or GnomeCon tend to go to other conventions as well to support them. I understand MonsterCon does that as well. What other conventions have you guys been to?
Well, you know, I mean, we're really, really, really big supporters of, you know, all the cons, especially in the region, sticking together. I mean, there are unfortunately some cons out there who don't subscribe to that, but you know, most of the really good ones do, and we've got so many great cons out there that have worked with us and supported us, and we just try to support them. I mean, to more answer your question, we do Connooga every year out in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We do XCon out in Myrtle Beach. We do RoundCon over in Columbia. We do Ancient City Con in Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We do Dragon Con, of course, in Atlanta every year, and probably a bunch more that I'm not thinking of right now, and I'm really sorry for anybody listening if I missed you. My brain is just in full con mode right now.
Very, very cool. All right. Well, is there any other thing you wanna say or any shout-outs you want to give?
Yeah, I guess I'll give a shout-out to Shane Trotter, the convention chairman, who, like me, you know, has pretty much given up sleep since we started this. He unfortunately wasn't able to make the show because of, you know, weather's knocked his service out.
Right.
I guess a shout-out to all the rainstorms we've been having that's made things difficult. But, yeah, you know, beyond that, the biggest shout-out I can possibly give is to our fans, to everyone who's supported MonsterCon. We seriously, seriously could not have done this without you, and we love you and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. You guys keep coming to them, and we'll keep throwing them.
Again, thank you, Dave Harlequin, for giving me your time and giving us some information about MonsterCon.
That's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Sit right back, kick your feet up, and take a load off. It's time to meet one of the members of the Scarab Swarm. Oh, yeah.
All right, it's time to meet a couple more members of the Scarab Swarm. Why don't you both introduce yourself and just kind of tell me how you became involved in Scarab.
Hi there, I'm Steve Holly, the Miniature Gaming Coordinator for Scarab. Kind of got involved because I knew Dale Collins, and we talked about games at different points. He knew I was really into playing Warhammer and a couple of the little miniature games part-time. And he thought that would be a good fit for the gaming convention that he was hoping one day to finally start. He realized that the more game variety you have, the more of a draw you can get in, and then we can cross-pollinate between the gaming things. Maybe get some of the board gamers playing the 40K and introduce some cool role-playing games to the 40K players. When he broached the subject with me, it sounded like it might be something good. I'm always up for bringing new players into the hobby and getting more people to play the games with. And so I kind of said yes.
And I'm Felicia Holly. I'm the board gaming coordinator, and I kind of got involved with Scarab because of being married to Steve here. And I'm more of a board gamer, I've done some miniature gaming, but it's not my thing. But I enjoy doing board games, and so some of the other people in Scarab were really into the role-playing thing, and so I kind of brought more of the board gaming aspect into things.
I guess what kind of got you into board games?
A lot of it was actually Steve. He's been, been gaming, like, probably forever, and started kind of doing some role-playing with him, and then we started playing board games up at Heroes and Dragons many, many moons ago, and I really started enjoying the board games more. He started kind of doing the miniature game thing, and I enjoy the board games more. It's a little bit more social. There's more people. It's not 3 hours standing on your feet. Mm-hmm. There's not many, many manuals to memorize rules for.
Right. Steve, what got you into gaming?
What got me into gaming was, as a child, many, many moons ago, at the local mall, there was actually this wonderful magical store that opened up. And had 150 different board games, 75 different role-playing games, dozens of expansions for different game systems. And I was really enthralled by everything that was inside of it. So I had to save up my allowance for a couple of months in order to actually purchase a game. And I wasn't able to actually get very many, but the ones I was able to get, I really enjoyed. But I'm not sure what happened, but after being open only about a year and a half, the store closed before I could get any. Everybody always enjoys what you have while you can get to it. But the minute that I could no longer get to these games, then it became something I really wanted more to enjoy. The local stores didn't carry anything like that. There was no internet to purchase off of back in 73. In 74, so you had to make do with basically what you were able to get to by actually going to stores. Later, I was actually able to find the red box set for Dungeons and Dragons and started playing with that. And then that grew into the Advanced Dungeons and Dragons. We tried TSR's battle system, where they were trying to introduce miniature games to it for a brief period of time. But playing the miniature games was slightly more intimidating. I mean, with Magic the Gathering, using that as an example, you only have to spend like $15 to get into it, and, you know, another $10 to get some boosters, and we're playing the game. And we're playing the game for 10, 20 hours before we need to go get some more cards, and it's enjoyable. And then there's the board games, the Settler of Catan. I mean, so $30, you get a game, you're playing it, and you're able to get tens or hundreds of hours of entertainment out of it. But then you've got this other game system, the Warhammer and the Warhammer 40K, and then you're looking at, it's got a slightly higher cost to get into it, because you've got the miniatures you actually have to purchase themselves, the rule set you have to purchase. But past that, you've got an even kind of more interesting cost you have to pay that you don't think about, because all you're looking at is the dollar signs, and that's the hours to assemble, to paint, to put the armies together, and as well as the time it might take for you to, if you're not able to take advantage of local stores, you may actually have to purchase and assemble all of your own scenery so that you have tables to play on.
Not to mention renting a small storage unit to keep your mini armies.
So it's, and I was actually able to find someone that actually was interested in selling their army. And it turns out, the more I've talked to, the more people actually find that that's how they get their army, is from someone that's getting out of the hobby. Yes, and so they're willing to sell the armies for it's a considerable discount in many cases, in order to kind of get some of their money back out of it that they had invested into it.
And I'll probably do the same thing with mine too.
And then once I actually was able to get some of those figures into it, then I was able to hit the retailer up for lots of purchases for the miniatures for other armies and for other things that I didn't have at the time, that I wanted to try different things with, and go from the 40K game into the Warhammer Fantasy game, and then from there into Privateer Press's games. And there's been too many, because I'm a bit addicted to getting the rule books for miniature game systems to read those. As I tell everybody, the nice thing about miniature gaming is it's actually several different hobbies, several different games, because the obvious one is we're going to play a game. Well, besides playing the game, which, you know, we might spend 8 hours, 10 hours in a day playing the game, three or four different games in that time. But there's also time during the rest of the week where you actually get to work on painting. So there's my second hobby there, is I actually get to assemble and paint. And I didn't realize it at the time, but that actual part, I enjoyed that almost as much, if not more, than the actual playing of the game, is working on putting all those pieces together. And then there's a third part of the hobby, which is arguing with other people about the rules. Fortunately, there's all these forums online that we can get onto and argue over the definition of the word may and other different things that are inside of the rule sets. So to me, I like the miniature gaming because it's something I can do on my own, or I can do with groups of people, and it's not that difficult to actually get people in. The books look like they're really, really thick with hundreds of rules, but when you get down to it, most of them only have 20 pages of rules. The 100 hours I have a week only goes to the miniature games.
Well, and then there's also the 40K board game Relic, which is actually really fun.
Now, that is there is a nice crossover. The GW's licensing their material to, actually it's really only to Fantasy Flight so far. And that is actually where the miniature games Dark Millennium is coming from, is okay. From Fantasy Flight. And again, Fantasy Flight, in their creative efforts to actually come up with good games, they're able to take the IP from Games Workshop and make interesting games like Relic. Mm-hmm. So actually, Relic is a game probably Felicia enjoys playing probably more than I enjoy playing, because it doesn't require a ton of miniatures. She doesn't want to have to put together a ton of miniatures. The rules aren't very complicated, and it has all the flavor of playing inside the universe. Same as when I'm running the soldiers around the field, I'm playing the same universe. So it's really interesting.
It's a little like the game we've all loved, Talisman, but the rules are streamlined. It's set in the 40K universe. And the end conditions are a lot more streamlined than the ending conditions for Talisman were. But it's a fun one.
Yeah, and so that's a really good game. I can't speak highly enough of the Fantasy Flight games that they've actually been able to produce with the property.
All
they've
of done Fantasy a great Flight job. Stuff. Yeah, and yeah.
That's
awesome.
And see, that's it's really funny, because in some of the games we still consider perfect, there's several people that consider Blood Bowl probably their most perfect game, because The rules are solid. You're able to get to the rules without a whole lot of difficulty to them. You don't need hundreds and hundreds of dollars of miniatures. You right. maybe need $40 worth of miniatures. And you're able to play entire seasons of the football.
And Warhammer Quest.
And the Warhammer Quest actually is the first product from Games Workshop I was able to purchase.
We started...
Purchased just because I priced it. And for the price of the four games, Necromunda, Warhammer Quest, 40K, and Fantasy, Warhammer Quest had the most piece of models inside it. It had like 120 models yes. to the other games, you know, 60 and 70, and it was priced the same, and it was a heavy box, so obviously it must be a good game. Plus,
many,
I like
many
dungeons.
Hours.
Every couple, every, I mean, there's so many couples that that I've spoken to that I speak to half the couple. The husband's like, how can I get my wife to enjoy games? And occasionally it's like, the wife is like, how can I get my husband to enjoy the games? I have the exact opposite problem. How can I get my games away from my wife?
Scarab's coming up in January. Steve's probably going to be mainly in the, wherever the war gamers are.
For the past three, yeah, I've been in the miniature gaming area for all 4 days of Scarab. I do not leave the room except to go get the supplies that we need in order to populate the room with all the scenery for all the players to enjoy. And it's been an interesting experience through all of it. I usually keep track of the everything that's going on in the room. We usually try to do a 40K tournament, a Warhammer Fantasy tournament. Privateer Press, they've got a couple of guys, the Gun Bunnies, I believe they call themselves, they're volunteers for Privateer Press. They come in and run a tournament, as well as doing demos for War Machine and for Hordes. And there's a couple other companies that are going to be bringing in their lines of miniatures this year and trying to do demos for them. But, of course, the big one is actually going to be the 40K and the Fantasy. We've actually grown pretty good from that. If I remember the numbers correctly, year one, our Fantasy tournament only had 6 people. The Fantasy had, I think, 18 or 20 people inside of it. But this most recent year, I was actually able to get a full 18 people playing in the Warhammer Fantasy tournament for a single day, which wasn't too bad. And the 40K tournament was sitting up at 22. This coming year, I'm hoping that the 40K is actually going to be able to grow to 26 or 30 players. We're working on that. We're really fortunate that the 11th Company down at Myrtle Beach, they have their own podcast that, you know, it's called the 11th Company podcast. But they have actually gotten to where, because they run a grand tourney there in Myrtle Beach, they've come up with an entire system that makes it so streamlined, so easy for the players as well as for the judges, that all they need to do is concentrate on the games. And they've been very generous to actually offer in the past to help us out, and I'm hoping they're going to be able to help us out there. So very it nice. Should be fairly easy to grow. I can't thank those guys, Pat and Neil, enough for the assistance they've done last year
awesome.
And the coming years. So this year should be, I'm hoping it's going to be a 2-day 40K tournament to give us a little more variety. Fantasy right now, we're probably going to be dropping that to a 1-day tournament. Last year it was a 2-day tournament. It's kind of a question of showing a little bit of love for each of the games, and it may be a little different.
Now Privateer Press, they're the ones that do
War Machine.
Okay.
I did forget Flames of War. Yeah, last year we were able to get a Flames of War tournament going. I was able to find someone that is his passion, and so he ran the tournament for that and was able to get I think 10 people to compete. And they had a blast on putting that together. So it's growing, adding additional game systems. But you are right. The gaming hall is the miniature gaming hall is a little bit different than the other gaming rooms, because our games tend to last a while.
Yeah.
And if I'm able to get things going like I've done in the past, it's like when a tournament ends up, then we're able to open up the game room for the miniature gaming room for open gaming, or for another round of a tournament for a different game. For example, last year the Flames of War tournament took place after the 40K tournament had completed for the day, and they got on the same tables, able to take care of some of the scenery. So we were able to keep things, events going on, and some of the 40K players kind of stuck around to check out what was going on with the Flames of War, which was interesting.
Yeah, the giant APOC game and the your tank
besides
battle.
Besides the tournaments, we also have some other just fun games.
Okay.
There's an APOC game that we usually we let off last year with, because we've got a bunch of people in the local area that they've picked up some of the larger pieces for the Apocalypse version of 40K. And these are red large pieces that you can't pull out and play in a normal tournament game. And nobody likes to keep their big, cool toy sitting on the shelf. So we're able to get a bunch of the guys to come in. We put together four or five of the tables together, spread the scenery across those. Everybody gets lined into two sides. And then it's just an all free-for-all, kill everyone that's not on your side.
Kind of battle. Pictures of that last year.
I've got a few pictures of that. And the picture of that, I think it was a dreadnought that was like about half as big as me.
Oh yeah, the one that the guys built. A couple of the guys built that. That thing was so cool.
And usually, so we lead off with an APOC game, and there'll be some sort of fantasy event going on at the same time. So people that prefer one over the other, you can make a choice of which you want. And the final event is something I've retitled Tanks for the Memories, if you'll forgive the pun. It's based on rules that many people have seen for Tanksgiving, which again is a pun I'm not responsible for. But inside of it, it's basically a free-for-all tank battle where you bring any tank you want to bring from any of the forces inside of 40K. And you tool up however you want to with no limit on the cost and just go crazy. Everybody gets placed on a different spot, a different spawn point. And then we go around, and if you're killed, you respawn somewhere else. People keep track of the number of kills and damage points that they allocate out to the super heavies. And everybody has a blast. And at the end of it, the person that has the most kills gets a little small prize, a little token of appreciation for sticking around for 4 days.
Wow. That sounds amazing.
So, like I said, I'm trying my best to try to get a variety of at least a couple of events going on at all times so people can get into an actual game or have the other people that are doing demos.
Any cool board game things coming up for Scarab?
Usually what we do at Scarab is we do a board game tournament that's not a tournament in the typical sense. Like, you know, you hear, okay, we're having a Settlers of Catan tournament, so you play bunches of games of that. The way we've been doing it at Scarab, and this is the plan for next year, so we select a bunch of different games. Usually we try to pick things that are either pretty quick to learn or something that most people know how to play. We've done Settlers of Catan, Ticket to Ride. Basically, we schedule the games, and if you play the game, you get a ticket for the kind of board game raffle. If you win the game, you get a second ticket. And all the way out throughout the weekend, we raffle off kind of prize packs. One of the things that we've kind of been streamlining with Warhorn, using, you know, Warhorn is the computer system we use to kind of sign things up. The board game stuff hasn't been real clear, so we're working on streamlining it this year to make it very clear what is a tournament game and what is not. And with the Pajabal thing, that was something we were doing a contest for whoever could complete the Pajaggle, putting all the pieces in the fastest time every day, got a prize. And so we set a start time and an end time every day, and when you did it, you just brought us the timer, recorded your time, and at the end of whatever time, you know, we usually set it at like 9-10 o'clock at night, so the kids would still be there. Fastest time for the day would get a prize for that day. It was kind of how we did that. And it blew my mind how obsessed people got with Bejaggle.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Every time I'd walk in to the board game area, it's like five or six tables with at least one person sitting there fiddling around with those shapes, trying to get them in there.
Well, and when you first play with it, it's kind of like, when you first look at it, it's like, okay, I don't understand what the draw is. And then once you sit down and start doing it, it's like, these pieces have to go in there. I can do this faster. And you really just, you know, people really got into that. And we also are really excited because with the board game stuff this year, we have Sean Torrens has joined us. He's another board game person. So he's bringing, you know, we're going to kind of be able to have some more neat stuff going on. If you were there last year, he's the one that got the Loop and Louie,
yes.
Which, that's what it's the game with the little airplane guy. They're trying to keep, he got that going.
That is a really interesting game to even just watch people playing it.
Well, and it's one of those that first comes out, people look at it like, that looks like something a kid would play with, and then you start doing it.
That's hungry hippos. I don't want to play hungry hippos. I'm 35 years old.
You're
Wait, that's what you're doing? Oh, get out of my way, little teeny You don't need to play this. You're only 8. You need to be much older to play this game. It's kind of fun. Sean knows a whole bunch of different board games of both varying complexity as well as ease of learning the games. And if you speak with him or speak with anybody else that's helping with the board game library and say exactly what you're looking for, we can probably hook you up with a game that we could either teach you or that it's easy enough for you to read through the rules yourself to learn to play. And so the board game library has the books, all of its games are available to you, as well as not just our board game tournament, but additional board game tournaments from other hosts that are coming in. Somebody from up in Charlotte came down and he ran year one, a dungeon twist tournament for us, and was able to get some players in to play that. He brought all of his own supplies, his own games, he set everything up, but we gave him the players so he could play with, and he gave us the ability to entertain our players, so it worked for all of us pretty good. And the company that made Dungeon Twist was really good on that. They provided some prize support for him for us to actually give something out to the people that came in first place. So it's not just one board game tournament. There's several different board game tournaments that will be taking place over the 4 days as well.
Last year, one of the ones that we played that we really enjoyed, in fact, we were totally selling our, me and my wife are totally selling our soul to this game, is Super Dungeon Explorer.
Oh, yes. Cool Mini or Not.
Yeah, Soda Pop Games and Cool Mini or Not.
Yes. We were so happy that they came in last year and did demos of Super Dungeon Explorer, Cool Mini or Not. I mean, it's not the same with the company. Zombicide.
Yes.
Which is another fun one.
It actually was, to me, as miniature gaming, so I was kind of very happy, ecstatically so, to actually find that Cool Mini or Not was actually coming down and showcasing not just some of their games, but showing off some of their other product and acting as a vendor. Because Cool Mini or Not has one of the nicest booths at Gen Con, and they usually are pretty good at separating me from my money before the 4 days are over.
I've heard infamous tales of their booth.
You could wander around in there for a while. And
You can't leave without giving them $100.
It was actually really, because the big thing last year at Gen Con was Zombicide. And so they built a massive tower of copies of Zombicide that was like 5 feet tall.
Wow.
And one of the guys, his daughter, climbed up on top of it and was just kind of sitting up on top of it.
That sounds great. There's a lot, so many miniatures in that it just reminds me so much of a Warhammer Quest.
It's very similar to both Warhammer Quest and Talisman. Because eventually Talisman replaced its little cardboard stand-up figures with actual plastic figures in third edition.
Yes, thank you, Fantasy Flight.
So this is almost the exact same thing in two Cool Minis or Not. Both the dungeon game you just said that, I forgot the title of, automatically, magically.
Super Dungeon Explorer?
Super Dungeon Explorer, as well as some of the other games that are actually coming up, because they've got another one coming out. It's not too far away.
I know they just finished Kickstarting, and they're putting the miniatures together for Relic Knights, I think it is?
Relic Knights,
yes. That's what it's called. Those miniatures look so cool.
I'm waiting with bated breath for my official Penny Arcade Pirates to come in.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sooner or later, they'll come out. I'm patient.
Do you know if Cool Mini or Not will be back?
We are hoping they'll be back. We do not have that pinned down yet.
But here's hoping.
Yes.
We'll see them in a few weeks at Gen Con.
Yes.
And from what I understand, that they appreciated, because Cool Mini or Not's in Atlanta, Georgia, so it's not like tremendously out of the way to pop up here.
Yeah.
And they were able to get a good number of customers, I believe, and they appreciated being able to get some exposure here in the Columbia area. Not everybody actually knows Cool Mini or Not. I mean, there's a whole bunch of miniature gamers. There's a whole bunch of board gamers. I mean, everybody knows who Cool Mini or Not. But that's kind of everybody that's in this room kind of thing. And that's not necessarily people that, is going to be buying stuff over and over again. So they were able to introduce themselves to a bunch of new players that had never heard of them before.
And we also had Privateer.
So I think they'll probably be back.
Well, the Gun Bunnies also did demos of Infernal Contraption and Heap, and then they also had an area set up to do demos of Hordes. So if you didn't if you're not a miniature player, didn't wander over to the miniature area and see it, you could kind of get some exposure to Hordes things, and War Machine that way.
One of the nice things Gun Bunnies will do, actually, is that if you show up on Friday or Saturday, they'll teach you to play War Machine Hordes. And then when they run their tournament on Saturday and Sunday, you can compete in it using their miniatures. So the cost, the barrier to get into the game for the weekend is free. There's nothing you have to play in the tournament. And if you do well, you can walk away with a box set of the figures to get yourself going in War Machine or in Hordes.
Yeah, because it's a complete newcomers tournament. So if you've never played or anything, they were doing a whole tournament
and
that
since
way.
Since nobody's played, they encourage everybody to be honest and nobody right. to be a ringer. But everybody's kind of on a level playing field, and that helps out and gets a little bit of the intimidation or the fear factor out of the way of that one.
Wow.
But I'm really looking forward to going to Gen Con and seeing what cool board games are coming out. I'm excited about the Firefly game. I'm very, very excited about that one.
Yeah, the Firefly board game, because people love Firefly.
Yes.
Do either of you have any interesting convention stories or such that you can think of this year? I know it's hard to top the... It's hard to top the Nun Grenade.
It is. Have not... Yeah, one of our friends... years ago was running an L5R game, and he lived in this tiny little apartment, and the walls were paper thin, and he was very big into, you know, in L5R you have the clans and you have the the court intrigue between all of the clans, and our party we had nobody in the party that was from the same clan, and so he was not a note passer. He hated passing notes. So if you knew something that only your character knew, he wanted you to figure out, you know, how, based on your clan's relationship to the other clans, how would you do that with the party? So what he would do is, when he went to tell you something, he would take you in the bathroom. But the walls were so thin that you could still hear. So he would turn the fan on, and you would stand in the bathroom with him right here. Okay, this is what you found out, and you're okay. And then if he didn't have the fan on or he was talking too loud, the rest of the party is on the other side of the wall in the living room going, "We can still hear you. We can still hear you."
Here's your one funny little story. We've got one friend who is the very definition of bad luck. It's remarkably, remarkably bad luck. We're talking to roll 30 dice, and you get 21 ones. And the rest are twos. So that equates to not a good set of rolls with any of the games, unless you're playing Axis and Allies. But for some reason, if he's around or he's playing the game, the dice all of a sudden go very, very cold. And if he should be leaving or, you know, not in the room, the dice go back to average. It's remarkable. Well, he actually moved away and went to visit Japan for quite a few years to be a teacher there. And we didn't know he was coming back, but we were all playing games, and then we're all just rolling our dice, and all of a sudden, three tables worth of people just start cussing at the dice. And so people were like, "What is up? I just rolled 10 dice, got nothing but ones and twos." And then Felicia here, for some reason, said, "You know, it's almost like Marty was actually back in Columbia." And we looked up, and he had walked into the room. Yeah, it's pretty funny. We have not tested that here at Firefly yet, but we need to see if we can get five or six games going and see if he can just walk through the area. He's going to be coming back to visit.
Yeah, he will be here soon.
Just to see if the anti-luck zone is still able to be used as an actual weapon of destruction.
All right. Well, are there any little last minute sort of shout-outs or anything that you want to...
Only thing I can think of is to yell a big thank you to the 11th Company for helping us out in the past, and looking forward to meeting them again. And also a big thanks to Firefly for allowing us to do the interview here at their store.
At their store, yes.
And I would like to give a huge shout out to a dear friend, Leah, who has been my assistant and sometimes help me keep my sanity running the board game stuff at Scarab. If you've been at Scarab, she is the blonde who's been sitting at the table with me. And I would also like to give a big shout out to Mike
and Alex
and the other Steve, who help my Steve out with the miniatures and help keep him sane during Scarab.
For some reason, she worries I'm not actually eating for 4 days straight there. I don't know why, just because I never leave the room.
You have minions to bring them stuff.
Well, that's actually, they will come and find me and say, Felicia, he ate. Okay, good. Thank you.
And I can't. Oh,
that's the other question.
And back to the final shout out, I can't say thanks enough to Leah's actual husband,
Ben,
because he is the one that's enabled us to have some of the cool pieces of scenery we've had over the last few years. Without his help, we wouldn't have had tables that were quite as gorgeous as they were, because we've received several compliments on the tables there for playing the games were looking really nice.
And Ben has kind of been some of the glue of our local gaming community with the miniature gaming, so just a big shout out to him for being, you know, getting some of the guys into the game and helping them keep rules straight and all that stuff.
Okay, again, I was talking with Steve and Felicia Howley. Thank you for giving me some time.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks.
By the way, is this mute button supposed to be pressed?
Oh, no!
And now, loot balls.
A couple things to buzz about. First off, a lot of people are taking advantage of the Scarab Eternal Member Special. Basically, if you find an Eternal Member of Scarab Gaming Convention, you can get into Scarab 2014 for only $40. So that includes all 4 days of anime and gaming. If you want to know if there's an Eternal Member in your area, all you really need to do is either just ask around, or you can post on Scarab's Facebook page with your city and state, and I'm sure somebody will contact you and let you know, hey, I'm an Eternal Member. And of course, if you want more information or updates on this, go to Scarab's website, www.scarab.com. That's with little hyphens in between each of the letters. I also wanted to buzz about a recent Kickstarter, which looks like it's going to succeed in a few days. By the time this gets out, it'll probably already be done. It's going to be King Khan in Warner Robins, Georgia. The dates are going to be November 2nd, and because they met their stretch goals, November 3rd. And Scarab, of course, will be bringing some gaming to King Khan. So you'll want to check them out on Facebook as well. Look for King Convention on Facebook to get more information about that. Also wanted to say, on the note of Kickstarters, if you have any Kickstarters that you wanted me to mention or take a look at and promote on the podcast, or if there's any games you're interested in, or any other little tidbits that you want me to try to mention that might be of interest to the people listening to the Swarmcast, please let me know. You can contact me directly at johnmanis@scarab.com. That's Scarab with again, the hyphens in between each letter. Or drop us a line on Facebook or add a comment to the podcast comment section. And I'll look into it and I'll probably mention something, or maybe even get you on the podcast, or somebody related to whatever it is that you're trying to get me to promote.
Hi there, Mister. Why don't you tell me what you're playing?
Yeah. So hey, why don't you tell me who you are and tell me what it was we just played?
I was talking.
Ghosts.
My name is Paul Hubbard, and I just played 1,000 Blank White Cards with Ruby and Beth and Andy and Will and also you, John.
Oh, and what type of game is that?
It's a card game.
Oh? How do you play it?
Well,
easiest play.
Go ahead, Andy.
Come on! He's got stage fright.
Yes.
Aww.
Will, explain the game.
Will, how do we play this game?
Well, if you have an existing deck, you bring that out, but, no, first you get people...
Hey, Beth, why don't you tell us how do we play this game?
So you get some index cards.
And you rip them in half. And if there is a previous deck in existence, you use a third. I don't know the mechanics of number of cards.
It's everyone gets 3 blank cards, and they make their own cards up. And then there's 3 blank cards per person that are in the deck. And then there's 3 cards from the previous deck that go in per person also. And so you have a collection of new cards, old cards, and big cards that everyone plays with.
What do you do? You write things, draw things, what?
Yes.
So you just write and draw things?
You give the card text or pictures, however you want.
What, it's a title, a picture, or text?
One of those three.
Okay.
At least one of those three.
Okay. Okay. And then,
but you don't have to fill the whole thing out.
Oh, no.
Okay.
And then you shuffle the cards up and deal what?
Everyone gets four of them, and it goes around the table, and everyone can play one of their cards on themselves, face up, face down, on someone else, whatever. And someone keeps score, gaining...
Good luck to them.
Yes, it is a fiasco doing so.
So you get points or...
that are points or not points. Like, everyone got cake, apparently. I got hubris. And death, that's true.
Okay.
And at the end of the game, the person with the most just points wins.
Oh.
But that's not the point. Yeah.
That's not. It's just a game to play.
And then once it's done, you take all the cards that are new, and everyone votes to say if they stay or not, and now you have a deck for next time.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool. Thanks. Well, that brings us to the end of Episode 5. Like I said, Episode 5 marks sort of the halfway point for us before the actual Scarab Convention in January. We got some exciting stuff that's going to be coming up in some future podcasts. I'm hoping that the next podcast I'll be able to get quite a bit of Gen Con information. In fact, or Gen Con stuff from Gen Con. In fact, it may even turn out to be either a double episode or two episodes. We'll see just how much stuff I actually get recorded, how much stuff we actually get to report from Gen Con itself. But then future plans coming off of Gen Con, as we get closer to the convention itself, I'm going to have the GMs and the people involved in the different events that are going to be going on at Scarab in January, I'm going to give each of them a chance to come on and give a little breakdown, a little spiel about what their event they're running is. Tell us all the exciting stuff about what's going to be going on in their event that they're going to be running at Scarab. I want to give a thanks to Dave Harlequin for letting me interview him for MonsterCon. And I want to give a thanks to members of the Scarab Swarm, Steve and Felicia Holly, for letting me interview them. And especially a big thanks to Firefly Toys and Games for letting us record quite a bit of this particular episode live, including the interview with Steve and Felicia. And I want to give a shout out to Paul, Will, Andy, Beth, my wife Ruby, for playing 1,000 blank white cards with me at Scarab and showing me what that was all about. Of course, I also want to give a big thanks to I Fight Dragons for letting us use some of their music. You heard one of their songs right at the beginning of the show. You can check them out at ifightdragons.com. Also, of course, want to give a shout out to MC Lars for letting me use some of his music. You can check him out at mclars.com. In fact, MC Lars is currently on tour. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please leave a note on Scarab's Facebook website. Leave a comment on this podcast site. Or you can send me an email at johnmanus@scarab.com. Again, Scarab with the hyphens in between each letter. So until next time, I'm John Manus signing out for the Scarab Swarmcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the victory anthem. Welcome to This Gigantic Robot Kills. We've got my childhood hero, Weird Al Yankovic, playing accordion on this jam. That means we've made it, guys. Check it out. This is a song about my life. And it goes a little something like this. Since I was 3, I had ADHD. Got in trouble constantly, so just gotta be me. 19 years later, I've got this piece of paper. It says, congrats, you're broke English major. I still live with mom and dad. And it's kind of sad when the Stanford grad brings ladies to his pad. What up, girl?
Are you that rapper with that song about hot topic?
Maybe Bukowski was right about women.
Stop
this
it.
Is an old school jam. I'm dropping knowledge like Plato. Almost rappers track it backwards and stay flat like Plato. But I'm a minor threat. I flip scripts so they know. You can't tase me, bro.
Don't tase me, bro.
Nothing to conceal. Keep it surreal. Piss off the British press when I'm like, who's John Peel? The enemy says,
Lars is well rubbish. His single is bollocks.
But I know that they love this.
I'm MC Lars.
True player for real.
DPFR.
True player for real. It's my self-referential introduction song.
You know the deal.
True player for real.
I'm MC Lars.
True player for real.
DPFR.
True player for real. The name's MC Lars.
Living large and in charge.
Play it for real.
Once upon a time, Grandmaster Flash inspired these nerds with the culture clash. Once Run DMC mixed rock guitars with a kick, snare, kick. kick, kick, snare. Public Enemy took a political stand. Now we pirate these records like Dan the Man. NWA got attacked by the media. Now we check the facts up on Wikipedia. Can't get on the stage at the Jay-Z show, so we boot up Pro Tools and bust a funky flow. Online for free, we don't make dough. Okay, just thought I'd let you know, and I can give you 27 reasons why. Post-punk rhymes are just as fly as anything born from mainstream rap. Till my laptop dies and I'll take that back. I'm MC Lars, true player for real. DPFR, true player for real. Still my self-referential introduction song. You know the deal, true player for real. I'm MC Lars, true player for real. DPFR, true player for real. The name's MC Lars, I'll smack a rock star. Like Ralph Waldo Emerson, I stay self-reliant. Genre defiant, I'll age a show with Kobe Bryant. I just check Billboard, my album's in the charts. I think that for a sound scan, right Descartes. But am I a culture thief, making hip-hop sound white? Haven't got the right like Lancelot the Knight. No, Camelot's a myth, and Guinevere's a slut. So I'll jump with this mosh pit, pants sagging like what? Key change. I'm MC Lars, true player for real. DPFR, true player for real. That's my self-referential introduction song. Now you know the deal, true player for real. I'm MC Lars, true player for real. DPFR, true player for real. The name's MC Lars. DPFR, true player for real. I kill it on stage with 2DIs wide. Post-punk laptop rap is the new DIY. True player for real. DPFR, true player for real. I kill it on stage with 2DIs wide. Post-punk laptop rap is the new DIY.